Thank you. Good morning. Woo! Gosh, I'm glad you guys go to one. Woo, that's going to be great. I just love a church that lets it just let the spirit just flows, you know, and no matter what time you get out, right? I'm Baptist. I know that's not true. Put this over there. Okay. It's going to knock me in the face in a minute. Woo, it's a great day. Right, Myrtle? Oh, did we have fun last night? Oh, man. And this morning, too. And, oh, my goodness, the men cooked a lot of bacon. And I'm going to tell you what, I have to get the fake bacon. I have to buy the turkey bacon because the real thing, I can literally fry up the whole pack and douse it with syrup, and that's it. And a Diet Mountain Dew. That is like, what? You have to cut back somewhere, you know. And so when you see all that bacon that was in that tray, did they want some? I was like, I wanted to take that whole thing. Oh, my. It was fried up right and big and thick. And I love Cracker Barrel's bacon. Y'all go to Cracker Barrel much? Y'all got it closer. It's closer by than it is where I live. And I love Cracker Barrels. I've been at 53 different Cracker Barrels. I'm trying to win a contest, even though there isn't one. And I just love Cracker Barrels, and I love their bacon. Their bacon is just, it's real thick and crispy. And one time I went into a Cracker Barrel, and I ordered just some bacon to go. And she said, "What you gonna do with it?" I said, "I'm gonna eat it." Because it was weird. Somebody just ordered bacon. But, you know, I was cutting back. I didn't order any grits or any biscuits, just the bacon. And so I really do love pork products of any kind, and I can smell them from a mile away. And let me just congratulate you on being a church that still cooks food that you want to eat. Okay? Because churches today, I'm seeing more and more, like if I eat one more spaghetti dinner or pizza or lasagna, because it's easy. And we had potluck, and it was wonderful. There was so much, and I hated that I had to speak because I wanted to go back up. Because, you know, we shared this last night because I was afraid if I didn't get it, you know, if I didn't get it all the first time, I wouldn't be able to go back because, you know, it would all be gone. But it was wonderful variety of food, and we just don't see that. More and more people are not cooking that way. So it was wonderful to see that because cooking is a way to reach the heart, isn't it? It's a way to have fellowship. Well, last night, we talked about the different women in the Bible and understanding what they did with their hands. And today we're going to keep going, and we're going to talk about understanding your purpose. Because if you don't understand your purpose, what's the use of your hands for? Because lost people feed homeless people. Lost people are kind to their neighbor, right? Lost people will go sit with somebody in a nursing home. Lost people will write a check to United Way. Shoot, lost people write checks to churches, don't even know they're doing it. I mean, lost people will do a lot of things, but when you're a Christian, using your hands to serve the Lord needs to go a step beyond. So when you serve someone a meal, it needs to be with the message of salvation. It can't just be at the meal. There's got to be a goal of getting past that. But you only understand that when you know your purpose. So what I want you to do, I want you to stand up. And if you can't get up, it's okay. I ate too much bacon anyway. And real simple, I want you to raise up your right hand, okay? And then what I'm going to have you do is I'm going to have you turn to your neighbor, to somebody you don't know, and ask them what they think their purpose is. Turn to your neighbor, shake their hand, somebody you don't know well, and what's their purpose? You can sit down. Wasn't that fun? Now, if it was up to me, I'd make you leave your seat and go meet somebody else at a different part of the church. One of the things that we talked about this morning was the importance of getting out of your shell and getting out of your box, your safety zone. And I'm in charge of greeters at my church. They just kind of gave me the job because I talk a lot. I heard somebody else could probably have that job here. right? Yeah. But it's good, you know, because there's nobody I can meet that I'm not afraid to talk to. But we don't know who comes into our churches. We don't know what they're coming in for. We don't know what's on their heart. And so a lot of times we come and we sit in our little spots. We don't move. And I love to mess with people. I usually sit in the spot of somebody I know that's their spot, and then I don't move. And you know, they get frustrated because they'll sit beside you and they're like, huh. And like, they're wanting you to move because they can sit in their spot. But I would challenge you as a church that when you get here early and you see people sitting, go and talk to them. Share who you are, your name, and welcome them into this beautiful place of worship. You have a beautiful church. I didn't even know how beautiful it was. And I just like, I love the stained glass. I mean, that is just wonderful. We don't see that in many churches today. So did you find out some various answers? Because when I ask people what your purpose is, I get all kinds of things. I get, well, my purpose is to be a mama. That's my life. Dirty clothes and wiping noses, changing diapers. Well, my purpose is, you know, to be a really, really good employee. I'm really good at my job, and you know, they expect a lot from me. I'm a doctor, or I'm a nurse, or I'm a teacher. Well, you know, my responsibility is this, and so that must be my purpose because that's what I do. That's my identity. Well, for a long time, guys, I thought that's what mine was. I didn't understand. I grew up doing the typical American dream. You get raised, you go to college. If that happens for you, you get married and you have the family, and that's kind of life, right? So I was raised, went to college, got the wonderful job, didn't get no husband. Tried a couple times. I love Valentine's Day. I've been engaged on it twice. It's a special holiday to me. And so, you know, what happens when the plan doesn't work out? What happens when you don't get the great job? What happens when you don't get the college education that you wanted? What happens when you don't get the house you want or the place that you want? What happens when you don't get the position in the church you want? What happens when those plans don't work out? Does that mean your purpose doesn't happen? I mean, I'm in a society where it's mainly married. Did you know that singles outnumber marrieds in this country? But you'd never know it in the church. We're like 53%. Of America is single. That's not good. Because a lot of singles are not getting married. They're just shacking up with everybody. It's serious. And so the family is being attacked in all different ways. People are focusing and they're idolizing the wrong things and they're forgetting what God and who God is in their life. So when this perfect little model of the family didn't happen to me, I felt like, well, then what's my purpose? Because that's what I feel like I'm supposed to be, and it doesn't happen, and people keep telling me there's something wrong with me because it hasn't happened, then what do you do when the plan doesn't? Well, I learned in my 30s that my purpose had nothing to do with my education or climbing the corporate ladder. It had nothing to do with where I went to church or how much money I made or who I was married to or if I had children and how well I was raising those children. My purpose was a relationship with God that glorified Him. And as a result of that relationship, a relationship with others to bring them to Him. You're like, well, wait a minute. Let me think about that a second. My purpose is, well, I don't know, Chris. My purpose is to be a mama. It's a tool. Well, my purpose is to be a really good husband. It's a tool. Well, my purpose is to be a lawyer or a doctor or a nurse because those are great professions to help people. But it's a tool that God uses in order for you to do His purpose. So you're thinking, oh my, well, wait a minute. Because guess what, guys? If your identity is in your job, if it's in your being a husband or being a wife, being a girlfriend, being a boyfriend, being a student, being really good at something, I'm a good singer, and if that is your identity and that changes, you're in trouble. If your identity is in your kids, I'm just going to get my kids raised and then I'll serve God the way I need to. What happens if something happens to your children? What if something happens to your marriage? What if something happens to your job? I think some of you know that one, right? And if your identity is in that and you don't have that, you're in trouble. Even me, who was in ministry full time, last year I had a big awakening because the economy changed and my ministry changed. And I went from speaking 15 times a month to once a month. I was like, what are you doing? He says, I'm trying to get your attention. I'm like, you got it. Because even I had become, my identity had become in the ministry that I was doing instead of the relationship that I was in. God said to me, he said, Chris, you are my prophet to go out and tell the world about me, and how I choose to use you where and how is my business. You start saying, well, I'm good at this, and this is what I'm going to do. You're in trouble, because God will snatch that out of you, because he wants you to get it to be about him. So whether you're a star football player or you're the quietest kid in school, you don't talk to nobody. I'm just working. To whether you're the prettiest or not the prettiest. That was like me. I wasn't really good at anything. I was sort of good, but not great at anything. And I'm so glad, because then God gets all the credit. Amen? And I love it that I can trust him to work through me to do what he wants to do, because I'm a willing vessel. You think you don't have some gifts and talents? Guess what? Oh, you have a lot more than you realize. But are you using them? Or are you living in fear of what somebody would think by using them? Colossians 1:16 says, Christ is the one through whom God created everything in heaven and earth. He made the things we see, the things we can't see, kings, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities. Everything has been created through him and for him. We cannot decide what our purpose is. Man made this podium. Man made the microphones. Man made this beautiful, or maybe some women too, I don't know. Made this beautiful stage, platform, so they can decide what the use of it's for, right? But man did not make me, God made me. So why do I let other people tell me what my purpose is? Why do I let people tell me what I could and can't do? Why do I let people try to decide for me the path of my life instead of letting God decide? Can God use people to help? Sure. But sometimes we listen to people instead of listening to God. We fall into the pressure of what it should be. Years ago, I bought my starter home in Garner, and it's going to be my finisher home. You know, you buy a little house thinking, oh, this will be a good place to begin. I'm still in it 17 years later, and I love this little house. Lots of memories. I can afford the mortgage. Who would know that we'd get to a place to where people would be losing their homes because they can't pay the mortgage? I'm so thankful that God took this little house and made it such a home that it didn't matter that I don't look like people like me, that I don't have as much money as other people have. I don't care, because he gives me everything I need. And then he gives me some stuff I don't even need, stuff I want, like pedicures. I love them. I'd be like, oh, I'm just telling you, I love them. Next to pork, they compete, pork and pedicures. But when you get into this right relationship, when you understand your purpose, when you really know that everything you're doing is for his use, then where I live in my house is not about my house. Oh my goodness, maybe I'm in that house still after 17 years because there's people around my neighborhood that I'm supposed to be reaching for him. Because y'all can live anywhere. And maybe I'm driving this car that's old, or maybe I'm working in this job. Oh, my job. Ugh. I like to quit my job. Because you've made it about the job and not about the place that God is using you as a tool. If you look at your occupation as, wow, you've placed me around all these sinners. Not for me to become one of them. Oh, we all are sinners. But not to become a part of the world again. You've placed me to be the light. So you can go into work. In other words, you know, hamburgers, whatever. Or you can say, I'm going to come in here and God is going to move this place. I'm going to pray, Lord, that you bring me all the other believers in this company, and we're going to start praying, and we're going to start praying on a prayer circle around the building. We're going to start praying ahead. We're going to go in the bathroom and start praying for all the toilet seats, whoever sits here. We're just going to pray in the cafeteria, praying over the tables, and we're going to pray an anointing on this company, that God would be here in this company. Do you see the difference? You can look at your job as this drudgery, or say, God, you've placed me at this company, not about the paycheck, because you will pay for me and take care of me no matter where I work. But you've placed me here to reach people for you because it's about this and about this. Then you think about how that affects your friends. Why do some people in your life and some people are gone? Why have you lost some friends and you don't know why? At one time, I'd be like trying to, you know, take a crowbar and open those relationships back up. God had taken people out of my life and he didn't tell me why. Let me tell you why he does this. Because he's making room for new ones. He wants you to share your faith with someone new. And if you don't have space in your life for someone new, then you don't speak to someone new because you're overwhelmed. So sometimes you have to let go of some of these people in your life. And you didn't do anything wrong. It's just time to let go so that you're willing to receive some new folks. I like to go to the store and talk to people as well. I like to have what's called a God incident. If you leave a little early, you allow enough time for God to show up. And it's amazing at how many people just in the grocery store that want to talk to you about nothing that can lead into a conversation about God. So, do you have people in your life that try to define your purpose? Your family, some of your friends. One of my favorites is, oh, you shouldn't go back to school because you know how you are. You quit everything. Well, you know, you shouldn't start that new business venture. The last five fell through. Uh-huh. Yeah. If God tells you to try something, then you do it. It's not about the success or failure of what he's asking you to try. It's about the journey in the trying. Amen? It's not about this person in your life. It's the relationship in the relationship with that person. We forget about that. I tell people, don't focus always on the end. Focus on the things that are in between. Don't miss all of that. Jeremiah 29:11, we're very familiar with this verse. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. One of this, a lot of times this verse to me is used inappropriately. Like, Chris, the Lord's got a plan for you. Yeah? And a lot of people sit around and wait for it. Well, I'm just going to sit here and God tells me what he wants me to do. I'll do it. He's been telling you. You ain't got to wait for it. He's been telling all of you, young to this age to all the way on the other end. You're in his plan. You don't have to sit around and wait for him to tell you to do something. There's work to do. But Chris, I'm afraid. Good. Give that to him. But I don't know how to do it. Good. Because then he gets to do it. But Chris, I don't know what to do next. Pray. God will bring people in your life to help you. If you would have told me X amount of years ago that I'd be in front of y'all speaking, I'd say, are you smoking something? I can't get up in front of people and talk. I can talk, just not in front of them. And God has a great sense of humor, doesn't he? And he would slowly, over a period of time, as I became more and more obedient to understanding my purpose, he started deciding the path. And there are times that I was rebellious, at times I was out of my comfort zone. There are times that I didn't like it. And I was angry because of what he was having me do. I gave up a very lucrative career in advertising, making a lot of money to be in ministry. And unless you're Joel Osteen, you're poor. It's not a very lucrative area unless you've written the bestseller book. It's not. You don't do it for the money. You do it because of the relationship. You do it because what God is in your life. And when God gets in your life the right way, you won't care if you're digging ditches or if you're the president. You won't care because you know you're doing it for his purpose. And then it's like joy. I have joy. I love what I do. I absolutely love it. I grieve for the people that I speak to because a lot of you may not get it. A lot of you will leave here today going, I still hope God's going to tell me my purpose. And he's told you right now. What we get mixed up is we think purpose is the project. Purpose is the actual doing. Purpose is knowing that the relationship with God and telling people about him. But how he chooses to work that out in your life. Some of you it's through voice. Some of you it's through what you do and how you live your life. You are a good neighbor and you love the Lord and you're waiting for that opportunity to share your faith with your neighbor. I had a neighbor that I mowed his grass for him one day and hoping to reach him, and I mowed over his little water meter and knocked it off. So he had it fixed. I said, dog. So about a month later, I decided to mow again and did it again. He said, please, Chris, do not mow my grass anymore. And he says, I know you want to help me, but you're not helping me, you know. But I pray for opportunities with my neighbors to open those doors that I can talk to them. Not just to do something nice for them, not just to feed them or watch their kids or take their trash in, but I want to share my faith with them in a way that works for them, not in a way that works for me, in what works for them. I have a new guy in my neighborhood, and I have had a couple dead trees that had fallen over, and he was out looking for scrap wood for his fireplace. I said, I got some over here. So he's been coming over to me. I don't have to go to him. He's been coming to me. And it creates opportunities for us to chit-chat and talk about whatever. When you trust the Lord, he will give you the words to say. You don't have to worry about the words. Ephesians 1, 11 through 12 says, furthermore, because of Christ, we have received an inheritance from God. For he chose us from the beginning, and all things happen just as he decided long ago. God's purpose was that we who were the first to trust in Christ should praise his glorious name. From this scripture, we know that our identity is not in our jobs, our family, or our friends. That God had planned our purpose long before we were conceived. Our purpose is about a relationship that glorifies the Father, and it's a part of a bigger picture. So let me just clarify a few things that'll help you again with the purpose. Knowing my purpose gives my life meaning. Isaiah 49:4 says, but I've said I have labored to no purpose. I've spent my strength in vain and for nothing. Do you think about that? People who go to their grave and they realize they have worked 40 years or 50 years. They've spent their whole life raising families and they look back and they don't see anything. They see nothing that's been accomplished except a house that's been paid for and a couple kids for college, but there's nothing else because they did not use their life for Christ. That's a shame. But you know what? Even on your deathbed, it's not the end. You can still, on your deathbed, make a decision to follow the Lord. Number two, knowing my purpose simplifies my life. Understand, when you know your purpose, all of a sudden you're like, well, wait a minute. Man, there's a lot of things I'm doing that are probably not really bearing a lot of fruit. Because we have a tendency to overdo sometimes. I mean, some of us are doing a lot, some of us ain't doing nothing. We'll talk about you in a minute. But sometimes we do a lot of things because we're good at a lot of things. And people keep asking us to do stuff, and we just keep doing it. Because you're good, and it feels good in your flesh. Well, Chris, you should do this. Okay. You should be on this committee. Okay. And all of a sudden, you're on all these different things, doing all these different things, and then you realize, wait a minute. I'm stretched so thin, nothing's producing enough fruit. When you realize your purpose as a relationship with God that glorifies him in a relationship with others, you can start to measure. You can start to go, wait a minute. Not everything that's good is best. I had a friend of mine named Lydia Ruth. I use her all the time in this talk, and I tell her, she's a sweet girl. She's in her 30s. I met her when she was 23. And she would say, Chris, all I want to do is open up an orphanage in Africa. Okay, that's kind of a random thing, okay? Why? She goes, well, I went over there on a missions trip, and my heart just breaks for those children. I said, okay, well, have you picked a country? It's kind of a big continent, you know? And she goes, well, no, I haven't picked a country yet. Okay, well, have you made any contacts with anybody who've already done this kind of work? No. Have you produced a website or something to let people know your progress and what you're doing and how to raise support? And no, I just want to do it. Okay? And I said, well, let me give you some direction. And I told her some things she needed to be doing to work towards what she felt the Lord had called her to do. In the meantime, 6 months go by, and I ran into her, and she says, oh, I'm on a committee. We're doing a triathlon. I said, you're doing a triathlon? I said, well, that's good that you're exercising, you know, because it's good for some people, but, you know, it's good. And I said, but you're on the committee that's putting it on? I thought you wanted to build an orphanage. Oh, I do. Well, wait a minute, I'm confused. This takes up a lot of your time. And if God has called you to this, then why are you over here? I said, I'm not saying don't exercise, but you're on a committee putting this on. You're pulling away from over here where God has first called you. Oh, see, that's what the devil does, keeps you busy, right? So she stopped that, and she focused back on the, and she went all the way to New York, interviewed to be with a missions team to go over and be a part of this orphanage, got all the way to that point, and then God said no. She came back to North Carolina. She continued to pray. She continued to seek out where he wanted her. And what she realized is that she really wanted just to work with children. And so she ended up working with children in our church. She started there. And eventually she got married last August. And she and her husband are now leading children. And then she is going to move to Ohio to work with kids there. See how that worked? Isn't that awesome? But you can see how quickly we can get so busy doing all kinds of things for God that we're not producing anything worthwhile. So when you know your purpose, you can get rid of all these extra things, not to get rid of them forever. Some people just need to lay them down for a season. I sang for years in my church. I love to sing. I shared that the other last week we met together. I love to sing. And I sang for many, many years and sang in weddings. And then I got good. I was good. I really thought, you know, I was good. I need to let everybody know I was good. So I took telling people they needed to bring me to sing because I'm good. And so I was singing finally at an event. I messed up. I was awful. And after that was over with, I told the Lord I would never sing again until he asked me. 4.5 years went by. 4.5 years, you think one person would have remembered that I was a singer. Well, it took that long to break me. And in the meantime, he birthed this ministry of speaking. What's interesting, now it's been 6 years, and I'm starting to get calls again to sing. And I said, Lord, please don't ever happen whatever happened before it happen again. Because I don't want to ever get to that place to where it's in my flesh and it's not about you. But sometimes he's asking you to lay something down that you're going to pick up again because he's got something he wants to show you, but you can't see it because, well, I've always been on the kitchen committee and I always will be. Well, I've taught children 42 years. Well, maybe you need to do something else. Maybe there's somebody you need to train to take your place. Are you mentoring someone to take your place? Eventually, we all will die. Okay? Unless you know something I don't know. So understanding that God can't give you to the next level if you don't release some of where you are now. Some of you need to leave it down. Let go of some of the things that you've been doing because they're not producing any fruit and they're just wearing you out. Because your identity has become in that thing. And you're like, but if I don't do it, nobody will. Then they don't do it. Yeah, but Chris, if I'm not running this, they won't run it the way I run it. Really? Well, maybe that'd be refreshing. When God called me to go and speak, I was a part of a big ministry in North Raleigh, and I had been running it, and it was my baby. And God says, Chris, you're going to let go. And I go, okay, you can have it. No, I need you to give more to me. Okay, you can have it. But I didn't want to let go because my identity had become in that ministry instead of my relationship with God. And then, of course, some of you aren't doing enough. You know how many places there are to serve just in this church? One area that I'm very sensitive to is young people. You know, I don't know if you've ever read the book called The Essential Church. Between the age of 16 and 25, we've lost a lot of young people. And the reason why we lose them at 16 is because church is not relevant to them. We treat them still as children instead of realizing they're young adults. And do you know how important it is to have a 16-year-old that loves God and sharing their faith in the high school today? Having a 19-year-old in college that's sharing their faith. Don't forget about this age group. Empower them. Empower them to be the Christians that God has called them to be. Because they're the ones that are out there in those trenches. When you're in your little safety zone of your Christian friends, they're there in this horrible, wicked world. Are you equipping them and helping them to make a difference to their dorm mates, to their roommates? So, John 17:4 says, I brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. I skipped one, sorry guys. Knowing my purpose motivates my life. Am I motivated? Y'all quiet. Do I say motivated? Purpose always produces passion. Meaningless work and overworking wears you down and robs you of your joy. Purpose brings glory to God. And then finally, knowing my purpose prepares me for eternity. You weren't put on this earth to be remembered. You were put on this earth to prepare for eternity. It doesn't matter what people think. It matters what God thinks. You become kingdom-minded versus temporal-minded. Is it wrong to pray for our physical hurts and pains? No. Is it wrong to pray for financial success or to have a better job? No. But when you only pray for that and you forget about praying for the kingdom, you're in trouble. Because the temporal doesn't last. So don't forget, when you're praying for someone in their sickness, don't forget to pray for their spiritual sickness as well. So if my purpose is to glorify God and there's a relationship with Him, and as a result, a relationship with others, then how do I do it? Through your spiritual gifts. Some of you are born with talents. Some people call them gifts or talents. Some you get when you receive Christ as your Savior. And some are a manifestation of the Holy Spirit when He feels to reveal them. We read earlier about 1 Corinthians. Thank you for the reading. I'm going to read Ephesians 4:12. It says, why is it that He gives us special abilities to do certain things best? Is it that God's people will be equipped to do better work for Him? Building up the church, the body of Christ, to a position of strength and maturity. Understand, we use our gifts and our talents to build up the whole church to reach a lost world. Everybody has a gift. Everybody. If you don't know what your spiritual gift is, I'm sure Pastor Michael will show you and give you a spiritual gift survey or meet with you or talk with you to find out where your gifting is. Some of you have multiple gifts, and that's where I was saying, maybe train somebody in the area that you have talent in so that they will be equipped. Do you know discipleship is the one place that we're losing people? We get them saved, and then we forget them. And they need someone to come alongside them. We close with a story about a man named Hank. Now, Hank is a man that I met at an event, at a singles event that I did in Atlanta, Georgia. And I'm going to try to imitate Hank, so bear with me, because, you know, I'm a Southerner. So anyway, so someone says, have you met Hank? He's 83 years old, and he's got a message. I said, okay, let me meet Hank. So I went up to him and said, okay, Hank, I heard you have a story. He said, yes, I have a story. He said, Chris, he said, my whole life I was raised as a Jewish boy. He goes, in my childhood I went to temple. Every week I went to temple. He's from New Jersey. He said, I was a very good Jewish boy. He goes, I was very, very religious. He says, and I married a beautiful Jewish girl. We raised beautiful Jewish children. And then one of my beautiful Jewish children, she married a Baptist. He said, so one day my beautiful Jewish wife, she died, and I was alone. He said, and my daughter says, Papi, why don't you come to Atlanta, Georgia? Come to Atlanta, Georgia, and be with your family. He said, but my temple, I can't leave my temple, you know, it's my peeps. He said, Papi, we got temples here in Atlanta. Come, be with your family. All right. So I went down. One week, my little granddaughter, she says, Papi, come and see me sing at my church. He's like, I had to go see her sing. So then she is singing. The next week, the other granddaughter says, Papi, come and see me dance at church. They dance at this Baptist church. So he says, and I went. He says, and the next thing you know it, I'm sitting on the pew, and for you know, I am down at the front of the church giving my life to Jesus Christ. And then I got baptized. He says, but that's not the end of the story. He says, a week later, I went to Florida, and my sister and my brother, they came to visit. We're sitting around talking. I said, excuse me, I have an announcement to make. They're like, what? Last week, I accepted Jesus Christ into my heart, and I got baptized. His sister goes, you got baptized? You're Jewish! And his brother said, Hank, are you happy? And he said, for the first time in his life, he had purpose. Hank is now 87, and he goes to nursing homes, and he goes to churches, and he goes anywhere he could find older folks and tells them, it's never too late to know your purpose and to use it to reach others for Christ. Let's start today to use our hands to reach a lost world. If you're afraid, just say, God, use me. And if you think you know it all and you think you've already got it figured out, ask him again. Because maybe it's you've made it about you. We can all learn. Even an 83-year-old man realizes there's a lot of people who don't know him at his age, who've been in church their whole life. Amen? Pastor Michael.
Yes. You've heard a lot today. God has planted some seeds today. And my guess is that many of you, even as you've heard and as you've thought about your own life and what you're doing with it and whether or not you're living for the purpose that God has given you, you've made some commitments and some decisions, even as you've heard it, to say, Lord, I want to give myself to you more fully. I want my life to bring you glory. I hope that you've heard those things and that you have made those commitments. But there are some commitments that maybe you need to make public, because I know what it's like when you make a commitment in your seat and you walk out and you move on and you go to lunch, and it's easy to forget about the things that you've committed. And sometimes it's important to make those things public, to stand up and say, God's done something in my life, and God, I'm committing myself to you in this particular way. And so as we have our time of decision and invitation, some of you, you may be saying, I've never given my life to Christ. I've never trusted him with everything. And that's what you need to do, and you need to make that public and to confess him as your Lord and your Savior. I'll be at the front to receive you. If you need to make a specific commitment to join this church and the ministries that are happening here, and you know that God's led you here because he wants to glorify himself through you at Mount Moriah, I'll be at the front to receive you for that purpose. If there's anything else that he's telling you that you need to do, if you need to come to this altar and pray, if you just need to come down front and tell me, God, I'm making this decision for God, and I want somebody else to know it so that you can pray for me and encourage me and keep me accountable. I'll be here to receive you for that purpose as well. And maybe you can make that decision and that commitment, even where you stand and where you sing today, and you're invited to respond to God in whatever way he has touched your heart. Our hymn of invitation is number 492. Let's all stand together for our time of invitation. And I'm going to have a prayer, ask God to just guide us and to be in control in these moments as we respond to him. Let's bow together for prayer. Father, I thank you for this time of worship. I thank you for Chris and for her gifts and the way that you use her to speak and to teach, to communicate your truth. And I thank you, Father, that you have spoken today. Your Spirit has spoken in personal ways to each one of our hearts. Lord, I pray that you would give those who need to make new decisions and new commitments, maybe who need to follow through on some commitments they made a long time ago, those, Lord, who need to surrender their lives to you, to become Christians, to become followers of Jesus. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would do whatever it is that you need to do, that you would give them the courage and the boldness to step forward, to surrender themselves to you in whatever ways they need to. And Father, we pray that you would receive the glory in that as we respond to you through this time. Lord, may you have control over these moments as that follow as we sing and as we pray and as we respond. In Jesus' name, amen.